The General Services Administration sees a wave of professional services contracts about to expire across the government during fiscal 2016. It also sees a big opportunity to consolidate that work into a smaller number of government-wide contracting vehicles. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has an update on GSA's efforts to reduce contract duplication.
GSA's own analysis of contract information in the federal procurement data system shows that roughly $26 billion worth of existing agency-by-agency professional services contracts will expire in the upcoming year before a significant drop-off in fiscal 2017. Presumably, most of those will need to be recompeted in some form or fashion, and the Obama administration would like the work to be performed under many fewer contracting vehicles than exist today, so that the government can leverage its purchasing power as much as possible. Tiffany Hickson is the commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service within GSA's Region 9.
We, from a federal perspective, will be looking to make sure that we're really supporting agencies and looking at the existing contracts first, in particular for their existing IDIQ contracts. You know, there are hundreds across government, and either we need to be using those at an agency level, or using OASIS or schedules or existing contract vehicles. We're really going to be pressing on reducing contract duplication in the professional services space.
Hickson says GSA's analysis of government-wide spending data shows that even with the proliferation of IDIQ contracts throughout government, most of the professional services work winds up going to a relative handful of firms anyway. About 80% of the government services spending went to just 140 companies in the last year. GSA's figures also show an increase in funds for services being bid on the open market instead of through multiple award contracts. Open market competitions increased 10% between 2011 and 2014, even as budget constraints crimped agencies' ability to spend on services. Overall spending on services, at least as they're categorized by GSA, fell from $60 billion to $41 billion over that same period. Roughly 20% of the government's professional services spending was through GSA schedules program, but the ratio of service contracts run through GSA vehicles is likely to increase as its OASIS program becomes more mature. Three large government entities already have signed memoranda of agreement with GSA to transition large proportions of their service spending to OASIS. The Army and Air Force have each committed $500 million per year, and the Department of Homeland Security is on board for $250 million. In 2015, the first full year OASIS was up and running, $578 million in sales were funneled through that contract. Hickson says several factors are motivating those large buyers of services to use OASIS.
I think it's about having the right vendor base, which I think we've checked the box on that. There's a couple of pools that we probably will have some on-ramps on and coming up soon, just based on the level of competition and depth that we're seeing and what we're hearing from our customers in terms of needing a broader contractor base. Most of the spend is in the engineering and services area, whether that's under schedules or OASIS. So we've got really a good match there. I think our fee structure for OASIS is a big factor in them making that decision.
For the first three large MOUs it has signed with federal agencies, GSA has offered deep discounts as part of a pilot program. Its standard fee for agencies who want to use OASIS is 0.75% of every dollar which passes through that contracting vehicle. The Army and Air Force negotiated 0.1% fees, and DHS, with its smaller commitment, was able to secure a 0.25% rate. And Hickson says that sliding scale model is now putting pressure on GSA to find a similar way to adjust its rates for agencies who buy large amounts of services from GSA schedules.
There's a lot of mechanics involved in that are internally very expensive for GSA to change, but we're going to have to get our arms around it. I think the fee structure is a big part of it. That said, there's also a large amount of support that we're providing through our OASIS program management office and our contracting team. We spend a lot of time on the road training staff about how to do good professional services contracting, and are doing more of that on the schedule side as well. So I think there's also that customer support element where when you sign an MOU with us, you know, you've got dedicated staff. If you say that you need us there, we are there. And we're taking those same practices and applying them to our schedules program as well. But I think the fee is, you know, the big, okay, let's sit down and talk about that. And what do we get for it? And it makes it very efficient and effective for them.
The Obama administration has shown significant interest in consolidating the government's purchasing power around a smaller number of purchasing vehicles, including most recently with its announcement last week that agencies would have to buy all new desktop and laptop computers from one of three government-wide contracts administered by NASA, GSA, and the National Institutes of Health. A similar directive is expected with regard to identity protection services, increasingly in demand as agencies deal with an increasing number of data breaches. The Office of Federal Procurement Policy expects to issue a memo by December requiring all agencies to use GSA's new blanket purchase agreement as their sole source for those services.
The work that we did in that space wasn't, let's just throw up a new contract vehicle. We spent 7 months working with the CIO community, the privacy community, cyber community to make sure the requirements of the BPA were right. And we as a government took time to really refine the requirements. And I think we're going to see more of that work happening in markets where it's a very defined requirement, it's a defined contractor base.
Hickson says GSA is also planning adjustments to its existing schedules program to reflect specific categories of service requirements that seem to be growing throughout government. She says GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy is looking at a new schedules-based approach to buying acquisition training-related services for federal agencies.
Instead of competing a new BPA, what we're going to be working with them on is testing, defining those requirements at the contract SIN level. The idea is we don't want to run another competition, put people through another whole BPA, let's put in proposals kind of exercise. Let's figure out how to use the schedules authority and really define our requirements government-wide for acquisition training, build that into the SIN, and then contractors can come in and apply for a schedules contract. And then we're really kind of controlling those requirements government-wide through the GSA schedule at a top line. Another area that we're looking at is language services across the government. Apparently there was an executive order signed many years ago that we were supposed to do it. But none of those requirements are built into GSA schedule contracts, where we really do have, you know, the contractors that provide that kind of service to government. Because what's happening is that there's a lot of open market spend happening for language services that isn't really living up to the standards that really the White House has for us or OMB has for us. So you're going to start to see some work in that space where we're really talking about the requirement. Let's not just throw up another contract, make sure it's the right fit for the government. So when agencies use it or we say, hey, you have to use it, it really is meeting the needs for the most part for government.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.